Coming up on Simply Superior.
Simply Superior, news and issues from a superior point of view.
It's election season, and the August 9th primary is just days away. We'll hear from the candidates in a Republican race for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District seat.
I don't believe that the moderate voice is being represented. I believe that on both sides, we have some radical right representation or some extreme left.
We know what's wrong, and we've seen what's been going wrong here for the last year and a half. Now we need to fix it.
Plus, the local band One Less Guess had one last concert a year ago before moving to California. Now, they're back at the same venue performing in Superior. Those stories and a news update after this.
Simply Superior, news and issues from a superior point of view.
It's election season, and the August 9th primary is just days away. We'll hear from the candidates in a Republican race for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District seat.
I don't believe that the moderate voice is being represented. I believe that on both sides, we have some radical right representation or some extreme left.
We know what's wrong, and we've seen what's been going wrong here for the last year and a half. Now we need to fix it.
Plus, the local band One Less Guess had one last concert a year ago before moving to California. Now, they're back at the same venue performing in Superior. Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. It's election season, and the August 9th primary is just days away. Most of our listening area on the Wisconsin side is in the 7th Congressional District, where a single Democratic candidate, Richard Ausman, is unopposed in his party's primary. But there is a contest on the Republican side, where incumbent Congressman Tom Tiffany of Minocqua is facing David Cornelius of Arborvita. Both candidates spoke with my Wisconsin Public Radio colleagues about why they should be elected, and we have excerpts from those conversations. We begin with the incumbent. Tom Tiffany has held the seat since 2020. Before that, he was elected to the State Assembly in 2011 and the State Senate in 2013. He succeeded fellow Republican Congressman Sean Duffy, who resigned in 2020, and was elected in a special election, defeating Democrat Tricia Zunker. Here's his conversation with my WPR colleague, Rick Ryer.
Congressman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Good to join you, Rick.
Would you please share briefly with us your background and why you're seeking re-election?
Yeah, so I've lived in the Northwoods for over 30 years now. Grew up in western Wisconsin on a dairy farm. My wife, Chris, and I owned Wilderness Cruises up on the beautiful Willow Flowage for 20 years. And I was a dam tender, the dam man, up on the Willow Flowage for 29 years. And in 2010, I decided to run for elected office, went into the state legislature. I was there for nearly 10 years. And then when Congressman Duffy resigned his position, I filled the balance of his term, and I'm serving my first full term representing the people of the 7th Congressional District in northern and western Wisconsin.
And what would you say would be your top priority if reelected?
Top priorities are to turn around what has happened here in America. I mean, you look in less than 2 years, we went from energy independence to energy dependence, where our president is now begging the Saudis to drill for oil. We see a border that is that is basically non-existent at this point, with millions of people coming across our southern border and coming into our country illegally and bringing the fentanyl and the human trafficking with it that is really harming our society. All you have to do is talk to the local sheriffs, and they'll tell you about the great damage that's being done as a result of the fentanyl and methamphetamine that's coming in across our border. And we need to turn those things around. Also, inflation is the biggest story at this point, with record inflation that we haven't seen for nearly 50 years. And we need to stop the deficit spending to do that. And that's really, we know what's wrong, Rick, and we've seen what's been going wrong here for the last year and a half. Now we need to fix it, and I'm going to propose solutions to do that.
Well, speaking of inflation and the massive economic uncertainty, ongoing fears of recession, what specifically can Congress do to turn things around to ensure that the country is on the right track economically?
Yeah, I would say three things definitely need to happen. One, don't take on more debt. We've seen unprecedented amounts of debt that have been taken on by the country. That is what's driving the inflation. In fact, President Clinton's former economic advisor, Larry Summers, warned President Biden a year and a half ago, don't pass the $2 trillion stimulus bill because it is going to unleash inflation. It has. Stop the deficit spending. We need to get people back to work. We've incentivized people to not work, and we need to turn that around. Third thing, get control of energy prices. We'll bring down inflation almost immediately if we get gas prices back down to under $3 a gallon, where it was just two short years ago, $2.50 a gallon. And home heating has, my home heating bill, as well as many of my neighbors, has almost tripled now. With the cost of propane the way it is, and we need to get back to energy independence. We do those three things, and we'll take a big bite out of inflation.
Tom, would you favor a federal law as it relates to abortion access?
So what we saw recently with the Dobbs decision, Congress could act, but we're returning it to the states. And I do think that's the proper place for it to go, is to the states. And I just think about my tenure in the legislature. It was just 4 or 5 years ago when I was in the state Senate. We voted on a 20-week bill that recognized that, you know, with medical technology changes that we've seen since the Roe versus Wade decision, which is, what, nearly 50 years ago now, medical technology has changed so much that we can save babies when they're to 20 weeks and older, and that's 20 weeks plus of gestation. So we can save those babies. And so I think that there's good common sense things that we can do, and we should be looking out for women's health. I think about the pregnancy centers that we have, including the one in North Central Wisconsin. I think, for example, I don't know that it should come from the federal level, maybe, but definitely from the state level, where we could help them to get help for a woman that is in need.
Congressman, in June, Congress did pass its first gun legislation in decades. What steps would you take as a legislator and your colleagues to decrease gun violence while upholding our right to bear arms?
Yeah, so I voted against that legislation because it is unconstitutional, and I believe it will ultimately be struck down by the Supreme Court because it infringes on people's Second Amendment rights, and also it puts in place red flag laws, which presumes a person is guilty and they have to prove themselves innocent. That's contrary to our jurisprudence here in the United States of America. But I think there are things we need to do. We have a lawless country at this point. We have prosecutors, including down in Milwaukee County in Wisconsin, that are not prosecuting violent crime. They're using low or no bail. And as a result, we're seeing crime skyrocket in America. We need to get control of that. The second thing is, we sometimes have law enforcement, including the FBI, that are spending more time on other things than controlling the potential for crime. For example, you look at the Parkland shooter down in Florida a few years ago. The FBI was warned about that, and they never acted. And we need to make sure that law enforcement is following through when appropriate, to make sure that those people that make it clear that they're a harm to their neighbors, that they are dealt with. And I think about specifically in the state of Wisconsin, we have something called Chapter 51, which deals with mental incompetence, and it allows people to be interdicted before they harm others. We do have laws on the books in the state of Wisconsin that can deal with someone who may be mentally unstable, who needs to be, the community needs to be protected from.
I can imagine you hear from your staff, hearing from constituents every day practically. about the issues they face, what do you see and what's been coming out of those conversations as the biggest issue or issues facing the state here? And what can Congress do to address these challenges?
People are alarmed of the direction that our country is going in. And they're alarmed that in just 18 short months since January 20th of 2021, when President Biden was sworn into office and he promised unity in our country, and that simply has not happened. You have a border that is absolutely on fire at this point. Millions of people coming in, people being flown all over the country that are not citizens of our country that are here illegally, crime out of control, not being dealt with. And then, of course, you have the inflation and high energy prices. I mean, for example, with the high energy prices, people go, we were just energy independent a couple years ago. How could we get to this point so fast? And so people are just alarmed about all those things, and they are also alarmed about some of the social issues. For example, when there's this movement to have boys to be able to play girls' sports, people simply reject that. We had a portion of the American Recovery Plan, $2 trillion bill that set off this inflation, that specifically discriminates against certain farmers because of their skin color. Only minority farmers can apply for certain loan programs. That runs against the culture of all of us in the state of Wisconsin, where our party, the Republican Party, was started in 1854 to end slavery. That is why the party was formed here in the state of Wisconsin. And then they see this discrimination in a bill. People are very alarmed about some of those issues also. But the number one thing that we're really hearing from people is inflation.
In the next remaining minutes, what separates you from your opponent? And is there anything else that you would like voters to know about you and what you're looking forward to if you are reelected as they head to the polls?
Yeah, so as far as my opponent, I know very little about him. Everything I understand, he's a fake Republican, is not a Republican based on some of the information that he's put out there. So if people want to vote for a real conservative, a real constitutional conservative, they're going to vote for Tom Tiffany. And I would ask people for their vote. I'd be very grateful for it. It's been it has been a real privilege to represent the people of the 7th Congressional District. And I'd be happy to comment on what I think is important going forward. Number one, we got to get back to fiscal responsibility. If we're going to end this inflation, we got to stop the deficit spending. I came into the state legislature in 2010 with a $3 billion deficit in Wisconsin. We turned it around in less than 10 years. We need to do the same thing in Washington, D.C. We need to get back to producing American energy for the American people to bring down the cost of energy for people to be able to heat their homes and drive their cars. We need to get control of the border. I just talked about how we can do that. It's not hard to be able to accomplish that. And we need to get control of crime here in America. And these things are all very doable. All we have to do is reverse course on some of the issues where we've went awry in the last 18 months.
I'd like to thank our guest, Congressman Republican Tom Tiffany, who is seeking another term to represent Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. Tom, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for the time, Rick, and it has been a great privilege to be able to represent the people of northern and western Wisconsin.
That was incumbent Republican U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany speaking with my WPR colleague, Rick Ryer. And now we'll hear from his challenger, David Cornelius of Arbor Vita, in a conversation with WPR's Shireen Siebert.
Mr. Cornelius is here to speak with us today about his candidacy in advance of the primary. David, thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me, Shireen. It is an honor to be on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, tell us about yourself and why are you running?
Well, a little bit about myself. I am the father of four wonderful children, ages 14 to 27, three boys and a girl. I have a beautiful fiance. And I have spent the majority of my time in the North Woods of Wisconsin. I was born in Duluth, but raised in Rhinelander, spent some time in high school, college in Madison, and then moved back and have been an educator Was an educator in the North Woods for 27 years and recently semi-retired. The reason why I'm running, I'm a moderate, and I don't believe that the moderate voice is being represented. I believe that on both sides we have some, you know, radical right representation or some extreme left. But I think most citizens in the 7th District are moderate and would like to, get rid of some of the dysfunction and discord in our government.
So if you're elected, what would your top priority be?
Well, to get things done. Right now, with the filibuster, we have, whether at the state or federal level, gridlock. So, I believe as a moderate that, and as moderates, we have views on both sides of, the political parties. And it's our role to deepen understanding of a challenge, explore solutions that work for all, and find compromises and get bills passed.
Let's talk a little bit about the economy. There is so much economic uncertainty right now, record high inflation, ongoing recession fears. What do you think Congress could do to turn things around and ensure the country is back on the right track economically?
Well, absolutely. And I think we are getting back on track economically, as I stated about kind of what I would like to do in Congress. The first thing is we have to broaden the understanding of inflation and what has caused some of these struggles. One has been market instability, and that was caused by what's going on in Europe. What can we do there? Well, the world depends on Ukrainian agricultural products, Russian oil and gas, and so we need to find other avenues for that, increasing our exportation of agricultural products, having the Saudis and OPEC increase their oil production, which was reduced during the Trump era, and then understanding that inflation also has been caused by a rapid increase in job growth and demand, which our supply chain was not ready for because our economy was shut down. So you see the gas prices coming back down because we're increasing supply and along with other goods. And that really had to do with our supply chain. Many people, in the trucking industry retired from their jobs. You saw all the ships lined up outside of Long Beach, California. So our supply chain was not ready for the rapid restart of the world economy.
I'm going to ask you flat out, do you favor a federal law to either nationally outlaw or nationally protect abortion access?
I believe Roe versus Wade should not have been overturned. There should be a federal law that protects a woman's access to abortion. I personally am pro-life, but that's because my partner and I had that choice. And I believe that in less government interference between partners, less government interference between a doctor and a woman, and the ramifications of not having that, leads to other precedent-setting cases that were based on Roe. So I absolutely believe that there should be a federal law. We can't have different things going on in every state where a woman might be held, charged with a felony in one state but has access in another state. That is that is nonsense.
In June, Congress passed its first gun control bill in decades. What steps would you take as a legislator to decrease gun violence? It's a big problem in America, but still upholding the right to bear arms. What's the balance?
Well, again, I'm running as a moderate Republican. I am a gun owner, sport shooter, hunter. It's about time we start looking at some solutions that work to decrease gun violence. And there is so much more that we can do, and there's so much more that's being done around the world that works at decreasing gun violence. And I'm not for taking away any guns. An AR-15 is not an automatic weapon. It's a military style in that it looks like an automatic weapon, but it is one pull of the trigger, one bullet. The problem is that an AR-15 can have a high capacity clip with 30. Now, when I go hunting with a semi-automatic weapon, one pull of the trigger, one bullet, my clip has 3 in it. Right.
Sure.
So, and most gun violence actually occurs with small arms, but some of the the mass shooting has been with the AR-15, but it's the high capacity clip. So let's not take the weapons away, but do we really need a clip of 30? Also, looking at poverty, looking at mass incarceration, looking at mental health, looking at supports for substance abuse challenges and mental health. So we have a start here, but it's just a start.
What do you think the biggest issue is facing Wisconsin right now? And what do you think Congress could do to address those challenges to help Wisconsinites?
Well, let's talk about two things. Number one, I think, as a conservative, I believe in a smaller government, less taxation. I believe in supporting the middle class and small businesses. So I think that our tax rates need to be adjusted. We need to lower the bottom four brackets by 10%. And we need to look at increasing the taxes for those that make more than $50 million. To get back to a fair tax system that doesn't place the burden on our shrinking middle class and small businesses. So that's one thing that would definitely help folks in the 7th District. Another thing is environmental. Places like Rhinelander and Wausau are struggling with having clean water. That is ridiculous in this day and age, right? So the incumbent voted against the PFAS action of 2021 and of 2022, which would have provided $200 million for aid. It would have put PFAS, on the dangerous chemical list and more monitoring. So, we have wells being shut down in Rhinelander and Wausau. We have, my fiance lives in Wausau. She has to have filtered water. And now the city is going to have to spend millions of dollars on a new treatment plant. And, the PFAS action of 2022 would have helped get clean water and help cities deal with that problem in the 7th District.
We've got about 2 minutes left together, and I want to just invite you to take this time to tell voters about yourself and what separates you from your opponent, what you want voters to know when they head to the polls.
Well, my opponent, the incumbent, is more aligned with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and the former president than he is with the moderate folks of the 7th District. That is why I'm running as a moderate Republican to represent the citizens of the 7th. I feel that the citizens of the 7th are more of a moderate citizenry, and I would best represent them. I had 27 years serving this whole area in education. The last 24 were non-union. I was a consultant. I had to abide by business principles. I had to meet a demand with a good product, quality service, or I didn't have a job. So I got to support families and schools and districts across central and northern Wisconsin for the last 27 years. In my local community, I've been active. I've helped start an education foundation. I helped folks understand school funding. I started a camp for kids, helped get started a camp for kids on the autism spectrum disorder and their families and siblings. So I've been active in the community and worked with folks from all sides and political views. And that's what I would do as the representative for Wisconsin 7th District. So folks, come. I encourage moderates to vote in the Republican primary for David Cornelius for the Wisconsin 7th.
That was David Cornelius, the Republican challenger for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District seat, speaking with my WPR colleague, Shireen Seward. Coming up, They left us for California a little more than a year ago. Now, one less guest returns to perform in Superior.
I'm so far adrift on an ocean of debris. A little ship was saved on the wreckage of the sea.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. So you get together as a band in your college days in Duluth and Superior. You make a notable impression on the local music scene with a unique and moving sound, and then the whole band heads out to California. What do you do after that? Well, you come back, of course, bringing in tow music you recorded before you left and a few new songs. That's the itinerary of One Less Guest, who left us for sunny California a year ago, and tomorrow will be playing in their old stomping grounds at Earthrider Brewery on a tour featuring an album cut locally a year ago. We're joined by band members Nick Muska and Ren Cooper. Welcome back, Nick and Ren.
Hi, Robin.
Hey.
So you're here in August. Does that mean you're used to California and you're not going to see us in January anymore?
No, we'll definitely be back in the cold months. We miss it.
Okay. So before we go back to memory lane, how is Southern California treating you? Orange County, to be precise, right?
Orange County, yeah. Oh, we're loving it out here. It's beautiful. Yep. Been about a year now. I don't know if that makes us locals or not, but definitely getting familiar with things. Ren?
Yeah, I'd say so. Days start to feel a little more normal. You get used to the sunshine and going to the beach all the time.
But you have less of that sunshine. I mean, we have in June and July, it's almost white nights, right? You know, it doesn't get dark until 9, 10, or I don't know, ever. It's almost the Arctic Circle, right? And I noticed that when I travel elsewhere in the United States. Hey, what's it doing dark? This is supposed to be July.
Yeah, well, that's true too, yep.
So I may have mentioned this one before. This has nothing to do with music or even the weather. On the governmental front, Orange County went bankrupt a few years back. Did I tell you this before? And it was over the cost of employee retiree health care. And Duluth had the same problem, but they actually solved it under the late mayor, Herb Berkson. Is that something you can use, you know, tell them that story to prove your cred to your new neighbors? And again, I wonder. I think I told you this before, did I not?
I don't think I always learn. We always learn something new when we jump on these interviews.
It was an unsustainable benefit for retirees, city workers, to have their health care continuing to be paid for by the city, and they renegotiated that. Orange County had the exact same problem and didn't do it, and had actually declared bankruptcy. I don't know what you're supposed to do with that information, but I mean.
We'll bring it to the town council meeting.
Yeah.
Other than that, how seriously is your new environment being reflected in your work? You know, wherever you live, got to have something to do with what you're writing about.
Yeah, well, I actually just had a buddy come out here to hear us. Well, they're friends of both of ours. Mm-hmm. And he said our new sound was getting a little bit, I think the words he used were like darker, heavier a little bit. And that's obviously not unilaterally true in all of our music, but I think for sure, you know, in Orange County, there's a big like ska and kind of like hard rock scene and stuff like that. And of course, we all enjoy a little bit of that. And Cody grew up playing in metal bands out here. So even though it wasn't a conscious choice, I think it's like you said, you go out and watch music and sometimes the stuff kind of creeps in. The one thing I can say for sure is that our vocals have gotten a lot tighter over the last year. There's a lot of good vocalists out here.
Mm-hmm. So is it peer pressure or seriously, you know, you're hearing other people and you can hear how tight it is and that influences you?
Yeah, I think it's just you adapt to your environment, you know. I think it's like I'm trying to come up with a good analogy for Duluth because it definitely happened to me when I moved up to Duluth, too. I noticed a lot of, I think with Duluth, it was like songwriting and lyricism because there's a lot of good songwriters in Duluth. And I started to notice like the importance of lyrics. And not that there's not good vocalists in Duluth, too, but just everywhere you go, it seems like there's a different point of emphasis. And out here, it's definitely like big, polished vocals. So that's been good because that's something, an area that we needed to improve on. I think we have improved on it. So,
Ren, you're born and raised in the Twin Ports, Duluth, and went to school at UWS,
mm-hmm,
correct?
I did.
But Nick, you just said when you came here, so where are you from originally?
Shell Lake.
So wait a minute, what's the big difference between Shell Lake and Duluth Superior?
There's some differences.
Honestly, Brent's been there. It's just Shell Lake. It's
like, well, a lot of people have been there. Not that many people, but you know, more than
not
just
many
you.
People
yes.
are there.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. Yeah. I know.
Okay. Well, with that, we are speaking with Ren Cooper and Nick Muska of One Less Guess. Yes, that One Less Guess with deep roots here in Superior, Duluth. They'll be performing at Earthrider Brewery in Superior tomorrow. Ren is the vocalist and violinist, not necessarily at the same time, by the way. Nick is on guitar. The other Nick, Nick Glass, is on bass. And Cody Thorson, who Nick mentioned a bit ago, is actually from California, and he's the reason the band went back with him when he graduated at the University of Minnesota Duluth. I know your story pretty well, don't I? That's
mm-hmm.
correct?
You nailed it.
And I should say he's on drums. All right. Well, let's listen to some of the music. You have a new album. Tell me about that.
Well, it's called One Hot Night, Volume 1. It's our first live album and what we hope will be a series of live albums. We called it One Hot Night just because we want to get the impression across that this is all just recorded in the course of one show. You know, a lot of live albums, maybe they'll be recorded over the course of a few different shows. This is all from one night. It was a really special night for us, and of course it was right in Superior at Earthrider Brewery.
Pretty much the night before you left, or shortly before you left.
Yeah, it was
town.
I think about 10 days before we left. It was we call it our farewell show, but of course the band, normally when you say farewell show, it's the band's last show, but it was just our last show as Duluth Superior locals. Definitely not our last show in Duluth Superior. We hope to keep getting back and getting back more and more frequently. Yeah, so this album recorded May 21st, 2021. It's got stuff off of our first studio album, Monochrome. And then there's three new tracks, which we'll be recording for our next studio album. But you get a little live sneak peek. You want to go? Are we going to go ahead and play one?
All right, well, let's hear something from the new album, a oldie but goodie from before you left. How about Breeze?
Sounds good.
Here is Breeze by One Less Guess.
Be mine.
And that was Breeze by One Less Guest from their new album, One Hot Night, recorded live at Earth Rider Brewery before they left town about a year ago. And they will be back in town and back at Earth Rider Brewery tomorrow, August 6th. Our guests are Ren Cooper and Nick Muska of One Less Guest. On Breeze, am I hearing correctly that there's an unconventional meter to that? It sounds something like I'm not going to say exactly, but like a 7/5 beat or something. It certainly doesn't sound like 4/4.
It's a little bit of an auditory illusion because it's, I think what the drummers call it is like a quintuple feel. It's like a, who's the producer?
Dilla.
Yeah, it's like a Dilla feel. It makes it feel like it's kind of, the beat's kind of pulling apart because it's not quite swung and it's not quite straight.
All right. 7/5 might be a good guess then, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have our musicologist listen to that again. So let's hear a newer work. It was your goodbye concert, but you also had some new songs on it. Do you want to intro one for us?
Yeah, we've got Pieces of You on there, which is kind of a sweeter song about missing someone. Yeah, it's upbeat. It's got some cool solos in it. We think people are really going to like that one on the new record.
All right. This is Pieces of You from One Hot Night by One Less Guest.
Me story we once used to share.
Dying to think of what to say.
Dying to think of what to do.
That was Pieces of You from the new album, One Hot Night, recorded at Earthrider Brewery in Superior by One Less Guest, their farewell concert a year ago. And they're back from California. They'll be here tomorrow, August 6th, again at Earthrider Brewery in Superior. So I think we have the answer to this several times, but tell us again where we can find out more about your music.
www.onelessguest.com. It's got links to all of our socials, all of our upcoming events. I just revamped the events calendar, so it's a lot more, I guess, user-friendly. And we got links to our Patreon, which is a really cool new platform that we're excited about. Really pretty much everything you want to find on the band, including a story about how we met and everything. It's all up there.
And one more time, I don't know if I'm harping on this geography too much, but starting with you, Ren, what's been the biggest impression, impact, influence, all of the above, of your new home?
The tempo here is just a lot faster. There's so many more people and more cultures, and it's been a really nice change for me just to be with so many other people and great musicians. I mean, obviously there's a lot of great musicians back in Duluth, but there's a different sound out here.
How about you, Nick?
Yeah, without getting too philosophical, there is a definite difference in the way that people communicate out here. And that's been good to learn. Just a little bit more direct.
You mean the Minnesota-Wisconsin nice conflict avoidance is not universal?
Yeah, I hate to break it to you, but no, it's definitely very unique to that part of the world.
You mean people might actually tell you what they think?
First thing they say to you.
Yep.
All right. Well, we've been speaking with Ren Cooper and Nick Muska of One Less Guest, the local band Made Good, now based in Southern California. They're back in town performing at Earthrider Brewery in Superior tomorrow. How about Tie Me Down to take us out? Is that a new one, old one?
Yeah, that's going to be one off of Monochrome. And we were super excited to record that because it's one of those songs that when we did it in the studio, we were like, well, this is good, but the spirit of that song's always been about the live aspect of our band. So you're going to hear from Cody on the drums. You're going to hear some cool fills from Nick Glass on the bass.
Some cool stuff from Nick on the harmonica.
I'm assuming there's something cool from you too, Ren. Yes?
Oh, yeah. I guess I sing and stuff.
Of course, the vocals are always a home run for Ren. So.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to your appearance tomorrow, and we'll listen to Tie Me Down to take us out. Thank you for joining us, Ren and Nick.
Thanks for having us on, Robin. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Due to scheduling and travel, including my own trip out of town, we're taking a week off from our roundup of regional news with Rick Lubbers of the Duluth News Tribune and WPR's Danielle Kading. Instead, we bring you a single in-depth report by Danny of the years-long dispute between Enbridge Energy and the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa, which sued the company to remove its oil and gas pipeline from tribal lands. As a result, Enbridge is seeking permits to reroute its Line 5 pipeline around the band's reservation. Now, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says a state review didn't fully account for ways the project could harm the environment and tribal resources. Here's Danny's report.
With the sun blazing, tribal and environmental advocates gather on a road where Enbridge's Line 5 crosses the Bad River Reservation. The pipeline carries up to 23 million gallons of Canadian crude oil and natural gas liquids daily from Superior to Sarnia, Ontario. The tribe's natural resources director, Naomi Tillison, says the tribal council rejected renewal of easements for the pipeline due to the threat of an oil spill.
That's why the council said we are not going to renew these because we need to protect our water.
While the tribe's case is ongoing, Enbridge wants to reroute around 40 miles of Line 5. Critics have already blasted a draft environmental review of the project conducted by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. They say there's not enough information to lawfully grant a permit, and EPA staff agree. The EPA's regional administrator, Deborah Shore, told WPR's The Morning Show they reviewed and offered input on the state's draft.
We think that many of the comments we provided to take climate change into account and to do a much more thorough review of the potential impact on tributaries and on those wetlands will assist in a better review.
The federal agency sent the DNR nearly 200 recommendations to strengthen its review. The Tyler Forks River cascades down to join the Bad River within Copper Falls State Park. EPA staff say the Line 5 reroute may have substantial and unacceptable impacts on the Bad River and the Caucagan Bad River sloughs. Overlooking the falls, Tillison says lake sturgeon spawn in the river and wild rice grows in the internationally recognized wetlands.
That's really, really important to the Bad River tribal members. It's part of the migration story where they migrated to find the food that grows on water, and that's wild rice.
The agency wants the DNR to show Enbridge's plans wouldn't negatively affect state and tribal water quality standards. The EPA also wants to see more details about the project's contribution to greenhouse gas emissions and how climate change could affect it. Walking through tall grass, a group treks into a wooded ravine where a creek runs under washed-out railroad tracks.
See the railroad tracks dangling in the air?
That's Joan Elias. She owns about 190 acres, and some of that land runs next to the project. Elias says after 10 inches of rain flooded creeks and rivers one night in 2016, she was temporarily stranded.
It was washed out along Little Edwards Road. It was washed out here.
Opponents say more frequent intense storms driven by climate change only increase the threat of an oil spill along the pipeline's route. Tribal members also fear the project will harm treaty rights to hunt, fish, and gather. Lacoutere tribal member Don White with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission points out Wisconsin made it a felony for people to go on an energy provider's property without consent.
For folks who just don't have a lot of resources, it is not in the best interests of tribes to diminish any sort of access.
The EPA doesn't have a lead role permitting the project, but the federal agency is coordinating with state regulators and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The Corps says its goal is to resolve EPA's concerns. The DNR says they're addressing issues with those agencies as well as Enbridge. An Enbridge spokesperson maintains the company is committed to protecting the environment, and the Canadian firm stresses the pipeline is a vital energy link for the region. Business manager Joel Zilke with the local 601 Steamfitters Union agrees.
That's a lot of gas and diesel and propane for people that really rely on that, you know, at this point still.
Zilke also touted the 700 jobs the project would create, along with millions in state tax revenues. Enbridge plans to break ground once all permits are granted, but it's clear federal regulators want to know a lot more before they make any final decisions. Daniel Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
That was WPR Superior-based reporter Danielle Kading. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. We leave you with more of the music of One Less Guest. I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone.
I wanna bottle up the sunshine, send it across these thousand miles, put a postage stamp.